Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Are you familiar with the word dystopia? Dystopia. The meaning is the exact opposite of utopia. Dystopia is a negative utopia. Utopia. The place where everything is ideal and perfect. Dystopia is a place where striving for utopia, there's a frightful and horrendous sidetracking. When an elite group takes and gives the appearance that there is utopia, but for the masses, it is oppression. Perhaps you're familiar with the works of fiction that are famous dystopias. Perhaps you had to read one or more of them in high school. It was required reading. Perhaps George Orwell's 1984. Fahrenheit 451 by Ray Bradbury. A Brave New World by Aldous Huxley. Or a little more modern times that some of the teenagers may have read is Susan Collins' Hunger Games trilogies, or have seen the movies. Why is it that looking to the future that the eyes and hearts see such distress? Aren't we supposed to be advancing and evolving, ever making things better and better? Technology and our wisdom should solve all problems, right? Isn't our human destiny utopia? Or is there a major problem that technology and wisdom cannot resolve? The human heart. The human heart. The condition of the human heart to seek its own self-interest, even when encouched in terms of seeking the betterment of society. The human heart is selfish, prideful, envious, wicked, even evil. These are problems that science and technology cannot change, cannot fix. Take a pill, lean back, and a brave new world with some soma will solve all that is wrong, is what they say. But the evidence is that with technology, humanity finds new ways to be inhuman. As Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Science, technology, any wisdom from a mere mortal man will never bring about the human heart being born again. Only the power of the living God, the breath of the Holy Spirit blowing into the heart and soul, will bring about being born again. Being born again, your ultimate future will be a utopia beyond beauty, beyond comprehension, beyond description. For you will be with the living God, in the presence of the fullness of his glory. You can look forward to this because it's the truth. You can look forward to it with great joy. The Son is coming back. Do you remember famous lines when people say they will be coming back? The movie Terminator has that memorable line, I'll be back. See, you know it. Then there's that historical event where it was said, I shall return. That statement became the mantra for the next 2.5 years. I shall return. Repeated over and over till on October 20th, 1944, General Douglas MacArthur waded ashore on the island of Leyte and declared, "People of the Philippines, I have returned." The return we look forward to will be filled with much more fanfare than the return General MacArthur experienced. For the heavens will declare with loud trumpets, and the glory of the living God will shine across the skies, and power from on high will be displayed. The angelic hosts will fill the sky, stretch across the heavens as the Son of God returns. Yes, Jesus will return. As the disciples looked up into the sky, watching Jesus leave, two angels in all white appeared and said to the disciples, as it is written in Acts chapter 1, verse 11, "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into the heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. This same Jesus will be back. His coming back will be in a manner completely different than that baby boy born in Bethlehem. The little child who had to be taken into hiding in Egypt to keep him safe from the murdering tyrant Herod. Raised in a small town off the beaten path, living in relative obscurity for 30 years, then preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Having compassion on the masses, healing, feeding, freeing from demons, and forgiving sins. Then when the time came, betrayed and quietly went to be judged by the Sanhedrin, silently standing before Pilate as the chief priests accused Jesus of many things. Jesus speaks about his kingdom, that it is not of this world, and speaks the truth, and Pilate retorts, "What is truth?" Beaten, bleeding, cursed, scorned, crowned with thorns, weakness, stumbling, falling, nails pierced his hands, his feet, hung in the air for all to see, humiliated, struggling for breath and still saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Breathing his last breath, saying, "It is finished." Jesus dies. On the third day, Jesus rises, life alive and never to die, heaven opened, ascending to come again. The same Jesus, crucified, died, and risen, scars in his hands, feet, and side, will come again from heaven to bring us home to heaven. The begotten Son of God was born a baby, born to be Redeemer. Now with the work of redemption done, the Son of God comes in the fullness of his glory, fully revealed as the living God, who is King of kings and Lord of lords, coming this time to judge the living and the dead, judging whether a person listened to the testimony about the Son of God and responded by believing in the name of Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God. Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. It's about a living faith in the Son of God, a living faith that is present. Not so much the particular list of things to do, but living a life that exemplifies true faith, compassion, kindness, righteousness, generosity, being fruits of a living faith. Those with a living faith will be welcomed into the place that was prepared from the beginning, blessed and welcomed into the presence of the Father. Pay attention. Not everyone will be welcomed. Though many today proclaim there is no hell, the Word of God is very clear. There is a place of eternal punishment, a place that is cursed, a place that is eternal fire prepared for the devil and his cohorts. Did you hear the difference in the two places? Not that one has fire and the other does not. The difference, did you hear the difference in that for whom each place was prepared? Hell was prepared for the devil and his evil angels with him. The kingdom of God, that kingdom was prepared as an inheritance. Inheritance, not something earned, but something bestowed. As an adopted child of the living God, you are an heir to this inheritance. A gift given by the act of the living God through the blood of Christ that redeemed your soul. So again, it is not the list of good works in Matthew 25 that earns this reward. The list of good works given here is evidence that you belong to Christ. Evidence that your soul has been redeemed. Evidence that your heart has been made new. That you have been born again. As is written in James chapter 2, show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. Here, the list of actions set forth in Matthew chapter 25 places a contrast between faith and unfaith. And the resulting eternal destination is not because one group, the sheep, did the deeds and the other group, the goats, didn't do the deeds. No, it's that the one group, the sheep, has been born again, redeemed by the blood of Christ, and given new life through the Holy Spirit. That new life, evidence, is Christian faith, life lived. Whereas the other group is still lost in their selfish sin, devoid of faith, devoid of life. As expressed in John chapter 3, towards the end, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Distinction between light and darkness. Distinction between righteousness and unrighteous, good and evil. The distinction between those who belong to Christ, the Good Shepherd, and those who do not. Look at the world, read the news, see it on TV. A powder keg is building in the Middle East. Brutality and evil are running amok. And this is progress? This will lead to peace? What kind of world will our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren grow up in? What is in store for the generations to come? Does dystopia seem to be the destiny to come? Can you look forward with Christian faith? Can you hold on to your hope? Revelation chapter 21, beginning at verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all of this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." Just as assuredly as Jesus was crucified, died, and rose again, and ascended into heaven in human history, Jesus will come back in human history. This is not fantasy. It is not fiction. It is fact. Capital F-A-C-T, fact. Jesus is coming back. Children of God, redeemed by the blood of Christ, heaven is your inheritance. It is yours. Brothers and sisters in Christ, do not despair at what is swirling about in the world around you. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior. He is coming for you. It is written in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Such good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Your rightful inheritance is to be in the presence of the living God. Free gift of God's grace. Amen.